Rishtard's Russia on Off the Ball.
Do you like the name?
I think it's brilliant.
Thanks to Flexify, finance made simple.
Who knows what Rishtard's Russia is going to be? I don't even know.
See flexify.com.
You want to sort yourself out, Keith.
Rishtard's Russia. Here we are, Rishtard, for one more Rishtard's Russia.
Yes, yeah, a reflective Rishtard. Well, it's you know, withdrawal symptoms. We're all feeling it. You can kind of tell in the station there's a feeling of withdrawal.
It hit me today, I must say, more so than yesterday, that it's really over.
Yeah, well, it's like a hangover.
It was an
afterglow. It's not the next day; it's the day after.
Yeah, there was an afterglow yesterday. Everyone in the office, did you think Croatia deserved it? Yeah, you know, talking about it.
Yeah.
And today, well, today there is just nothing.
There is just nothing. Yeah, yeah. And it's a pity as well, the timing, I think, with Wimbledon, that the Wimbledon wasn't going on for another week. Mm. But we missed, you know, I mean, we were indoors for a lot of the sunshine. So we missed the sunshine. Missed quite a few of the matches, actually, like the ones in the early stages. And now it's just gone. It's just gone.
You've watched your fair share of World Cups. I felt it was a great World Cup.
Mm.
Now, it often depends on your interpretation of the word great, and the very popular thing to say is, well, the quality wasn't quite up to scratch, but, you know, I suppose it was exciting. If you were a simple-minded type, it was an exciting World Cup, but it wasn't great in the true sense. Was it not great?
I don't know. It felt like there was something a little bit missing, and it was very entertaining. There was lots of good matches, loads of goals. There was 1-0 all, was there? Maybe 2-0 alls. It was very entertaining. I felt like the fact that Spain, Germany and Argentina went out so early, that maybe made one half of the draw a little bit unbalanced and a little bit easier. But at the same time, I was delighted from a material point of view that England went as far as they did. And also from an interest point of view, I mean, they do provide, you know, and we all kind of were saying the same thing, that it's just, how do we want them to be beaten? Is it, you know, tragically or with sort of, you know, a humane exit? Yeah. But I think it was fairly, I think it was, they went out, they proved themselves, they went as far as they possibly could, and it wasn't horrific, their exit.
Mm. The final was weird.
Yeah.
It was a weird game. It was a weird medal ceremony. It was just kind of weird from start to finish.
Yeah. It was, and obviously, you know, the VAR decision, it was bound to raise its ugly head. The referee with the strangest haircut, I think, of the whole tournament, and that's saying something compared to a lot of the players and Liam Brady. But he definitely had the weirdest haircut. And I mean, I thought the medal ceremony was incredible. Putin, Macron, and the Croatian president, Kolinda Grabar, Kitrovic, and she was certainly doing a fair bit of grabbing of anyone that was going by. And the rain was, as we saw, bucketing down, and appeared to be only one umbrella, which obviously, if you're Russian, you're going to give it to Putin. And it looked as well like he had got injections, like that he had this filler in his face. So maybe they were thinking ahead with regard to that as well, that his face might actually fall off during the ceremony. But lengthy hugs from the Croatian president to everyone on both teams, including the coaching staff and assistant refs and fourth official, and you'd suspect even the VAR lads in the studio would have been warmly received by her as well, had they been there, regardless of the decision.
It's such transparent politicking, though, isn't it? I mean, like literally, it was hard to know if Macron was more thrilled that France had won the World Cup or that he was getting this kind of FaceTime to a billion people.
Yeah.
And I dare say it was probably just the latter by 5-10%.
Well, it's an incredible stage, isn't it? You know, there's very few people that aren't going to see that.
Yes. He's linked in the subconscious of every French mind with one of the greatest day of their lives.
Yeah.
That counts for something in the ballot box in a few years' time.
Definitely. And he, not even almost, but very seriously and strongly connected to the success. He's there forever and a day, I would have thought, for as long as he wants to be. But she attended every Croatia match, traveled economy class, sat in the stands with the players. So you'd have to say hats off to her for that. And, I suppose it's proper leadership compared to somebody like Trump. But it would have been lovely to have seen maybe Trump's hair getting that wet would have been really interesting, actually, what your man would have done to hit with the umbrella, Trump or Putin. And I mean, he would have gone with Putin, I presume. Yeah. But I would give anything to see Trump after a shower, I was going to say, but maybe I should rephrase that.
I mean, it's an image.
Yeah.
So, and then I guess Deschamps is there in the middle of all this. He's, what, the third man in history to win a World Cup on the pitch and on the touchline. Yeah. And it's even hard to know how brilliant a job, like it's hard to know how brilliant France were, it's hard to know how brilliant a job he did. It just seems like it all happened all too easily for them.
Well, yeah, I mean, except for, I suppose, the way Pogba played and the way he got a lot of the players to play, but particularly Pogba, you'd have to say.
Oh, I should say, I've no doubt he's done a brilliant job.
Yeah,
I just don't, you know.
But he doesn't look like, if you were to see him on this, he doesn't look like a World Cup winning captain or World Cup winning manager. He doesn't look French even. He looks more like, you know, a hotel manager from Waterford in need of a trip to the dentist. Hello, welcome to the Waterford Arms Hotel, boy. Have you any bags? there's just something about his face that looks very Irish to me. But he wouldn't make it on Love Island, but he did an incredible job. And I mean, it is an interesting thing with certain players. Like, are they more respectful of managers that have made it as a player, that have won big as a player? And I know you get this countless examples where that's not the case, like Mourinho. But is Mourinho maybe, has he reached that point of exasperation, you know, like the players feeling that way about him? Mm. That I think, well, what have you actually done? What have you actually done as a player? Certainly from Pogba's, looking at Pogba, you'd have to say that he hasn't got the best out of him, and Deschamps seems to have.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Is it just a personality thing, or is it the fact that Deschamps has been such a massively successful, iconic French captain?
Yeah.
Did they deserve to win the whole thing? You'd have to say they did. They had the best. I would have thought the best group of players, didn't they?
Yeah. They're just the most talented squad, basically.
Yeah, yeah, and they seem to bring on anyone they brought on wasn't even a replacement. It was.
Where did you spend the bulk of your time, TV wise, across the three on the schedule?
I suppose mainly on RTE, but some BBC time and some ITV time. But the ITV time was spent more after the fact. It was more. Research than it was live.
Okay.
The stuff with Keane and Wright on ITV it's been well documented at this stage, but it was absolutely nuts, the whole thing of you know, you're getting carried away, you know, and you're thinking, well, why shouldn't the fans and the pundits enjoy the moment? And Ian Wright said, no, you're misunderstanding me. We're happy. What's wrong with being happy? And he said, no, but you're getting too carried away. And like, either way, you kind of think, well, you know, whatever Ian Wright does or whatever they do in the studio or whatever the fans do, it's surely not going to affect the result one way or the other.
Totally. I was watching that argument, and it was like this one of the more compelling arguments of the World Cup. And so what is Roy's issue if Ian Wright gets excited? Like, Ian Wright's perfectly entitled to get carried away. He's not there necessarily for the most sober of analysis. He is there. Like, it's England, it's at a World Cup, he's entitled to get carried away. This had no bearing on the team whatsoever,
no.
Or how they performed, and is no insight as to if the team did get carried away or didn't get carried away.
No,
but it seems like there was something about Ian Wright's happy head that caught Roy Keane, and he didn't like the look of it.
Yeah, and he's surrounded by Gary Neville as well, and you know, you're planning where you're going to watch. You're planning like the parade, you're planning the final. It's haven't played the semi-final. And you know, you seriously suspect that Roy would have told Neil Armstrong not to get carried away for landing on the moon. Do you know what I mean? It's like, you know, you've only landed on it. You know, you don't own it. You haven't colonised it. You haven't even walked on it. You're just bouncing around in a spacesuit. One small step for mankind. Well, I don't know about that. It's nonsense. You're getting carried away, Armsy.
It was interesting to see Ian Wright stand up to him, though. Like, very few people do stand up to him.
And do a terrible Irish accent.
Well, I mean, it was the balls of the man to do the big final. Most people, if Roy Keane's given them the 1,000-yard stare, I mean, I guess journalists would be at the, more often than not, at the wrong end of this. You just freeze a little bit and you're just like, uh-oh.
Yeah.
I've poke the bear.
Yeah.
Whereas Enright stood up to you. He's like, I don't care if you're Roy Keane. Like, you know, I'm going to take the piss out of you and I'm not afraid of you.
I know.
And it's not often. I was really curious to watch Roy in that environment because I wasn't sure would it go and explode or if Roy had backed down, meeting somebody else to get down with him. In the end, Mark Pugach jumped in and talked for the next 5 minutes anyway, as is his wont, because it was just getting interesting.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And I thought the laughter, Neville and Lee Dixon, I think, was in the middle. It was like insanely nervous laughter, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
It was like, this is a joke. You know, this is you joke, and there was definitely that sort of reaction.
But also, and Neville going, I've seen this before. I know how this ends.
Yeah.
I know how this ends.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so that's probably why Mark Pugach intervened.
Did you like England, as a matter of interest? Like, I mean, they seem to be very popular, obviously, with the English public, and there was this general discussion here about, well, they seem, you know, we sort of like this team.
Yeah, yeah, I did. And they definitely, you know, they came across as being humble and you know, sort of delighted to be there, which I've never really seen before with an English team, and probably the media expectation was quite low as well. Yeah. But they're definitely, you know, both modest. I thought both Harry Kane and Gareth Southgate. Kane speaks like he's eating sausages at the same time speaking, which is probably something that endears him to a lot of people as well. And I said obviously quite a lot as well, with small margins, but. Small margins, but they scored more goals than us. So obviously, that's why they won. And he actually did say that they scored more goals than us. That's why they won. And you can't argue with that kind of logic.
The best thing about Rishtar's Russia, I think, has been the fact that your Harry Kane is identical, and they both work to your Rio Ferdinand. That is the great. That has been the great discovery.
Rio Ferdinand is a little bit deeper, and he's kind of more down there, I think. And also, he looks like he's got an elastic band. There's an elastic band kind of thing going on in his mouth. But Gareth Southgate as well. I think he's kind of very measured the way he speaks, and he's got this slight sibilance as well, which I think makes him seem a bit more intelligent than perhaps he actually is. I think he speaks slowly. He's got a certain sort of way of delivering things, which. Leads to people thinking that he has thought quite deeply about this. And, you know, I'd like to thank London Tube for renaming Southgate to Gareth Southgate for 2 days. It's a real measure of the esteem in which I'm held, and basically I'll never be forgiven for missing that bloody penalty against Germany. But he's going to be given free reign, I think, isn't he? He's
5 million a year, 2022.
And $100,000 a public speaking appearance. Isn't similar to yourself, Joe.
Well, listen. Before tax.
Yeah.
Changes.
Yeah, which you don't pay tax. Dennis picks that up, yeah, I'd say, does he?
So why what do you want to talk about next?
Well, there's Brady. We were talking about Brady and the hair, and he actually did say after the final that he was suggesting that Pogba had such a good World Cup because he had a normal haircut.
Yeah, I saw that too.
And Dunphy had been on that as well about Neymar. You know, he's more concerned about his hair. Uh-huh. And I mean, so the implication is that anyone who has, you know, dodgy hair is destined to fail.
Yeah.
And I mean, you'd wonder, is it the same with tattoos, or it's okay for a tattoo?
Roy didn't like Boateng 650 pairs of shoes.
No. No.
Not right in the head was the verdict.
Yeah, but I can see where that's coming from there. A bit more. But I mean, they've got so much time on their hands. Give them a break. You know, a haircut or a tattoo, or, you know, if they want to buy another pair of shoes, I don't see the problem.
In like a line in the sand that I become old, basically me and my family all got together. My two brothers live abroad, but like real football. So everybody flew home for the World Cup final. We made a big weekend and it was great. I did, you know, cross the line where I did actually say, before I'd heard Brady say it, I said, have you noticed Pogba's just messing around less with his hair and his image? And
yeah.
I wonder, is he just
more focused?
Something. Or just Deschamps has said to him, right, enough of the crap. You're going to like do things like, you know, mark men and defensive headers and actually help the team and stop with the hair.
Yeah.
I'd love to know if he did say that to him. I suspect he didn't, and I'm just become, you know, an old man.
I just don't think it makes any difference.
Of course it
whatsoever.
Doesn't. I know.
It's what they'd like it to be. It's what, you know, Dunphy and Brady, old school, you know, would like it to be. You know, they're not messing around with their hair, so therefore, of course, he's going to play better. They're not distracted. I think there's lots of people with funny hair over the years
who dyed it
and shaved it. And
Ronaldo, Brazilian, had the worst haircut in the history of the world in the O2 World Cup, where he left the front part for no good reason and got the golden boot and won the World Cup.
I just think Brady has a thing about hair, and I think anyone who has flamboyant hair, he thinks, you know, they're personally rubbing his nose in it. That's the only thing to conclude. And no wonder he's suspicious of Keith Andrews.
Wow.
Therefore,
Keith Andrews stole the show at the third, fourth place playoff, if I do say so. The dance.
It's quite a wig that we have for Keith.
Some nice dance moves out of you as well.
Thanks. Yeah. No, I was auditioning for Dancing with the Stars. Really.
Yeah. Really. That was what it really was. Yeah.
He was actually in Brian, whatever his name is, the judge on. You can tell how much it means to me.
Yeah.
He was in at Vicar Street the other night.
For the live show?
For the live show.
Very good.
Yeah. So I did it. I really pulled out all the stops there with the hips.
Yeah.
And but I still haven't got the call from the producers.
After this desperate plea, live on the air.
I think I need it. I think that's what I need.
You'd be on page 3 or 4 of the hit list, I'm sure.
I'm actually looking at myself there. I do look very like Martin O'Neill, actually, you know, because I'm wearing the shades, absolutely, yeah.
Martin O'Neill made an appearance on Saturday as well, actually.
He did, absolutely, with Eamon. It was a good opportunity for Martin. I didn't see much of him on ITV, actually.
No.
And I think there was only one appearance with himself and Roy.
Yeah, he did a few of the group stages, disappeared, did some NBC, didn't see much of him at all.
Illich actually completely owned him as well at one stage.
Oh, about Croatia?
About Croatia and Ireland, you know, the similarities. It says, yes, we've just got better footballers.
Yeah. And O'Neill said nothing.
He kind of went, well, yes. And that was it.
But I think,
you know, he could not think of anything.
But
if it was Tony O'Donoghue, I'd say Bilic was gone.
Man, that is true. I think also that might have crossed O'Neill's head. Well, if I argue here that we've got great footballers, Tony O'Donoghue will be asking me about that in 6 months' time.
Yeah.
But you said we're great players, and now what's the story, Martin?
Well, this is it. I know, yeah, absolutely. I think what he said, I think we've got very dangerous players, is what he said.
Is that what he said about us?
Yeah.
Okay.
Dangerous, you know, dangerously good, dangerously bad. That's the question.
Any quotes, highs, lows, moments, memories that will...
Well, there was a
in the ether.
There's a great one from George Hamilton. I actually saw this game, and Mary Hannigan also included in her quotes. But George Hamilton said, Spain have no cutting edge. They're like cutlery you get at an airport, the plastic version, that is, which is not incisive at all. That's been Spain this year, plastic. So I've never, like, he just ran out of steam there, with that analogy. They remind me of, plastic. Whereas Italy are more like metal, even though they're not in it. But Spain are aluminum. Like, he could have, probably unlike him not to have continued with it.
Spain being like cutlery you get in an airport is a good start. You feel like that's going somewhere.
Yes, it's. I think it's because he spent so much time in airports that it was his nearest and closest source of as a reference. Ronnie Whelan had a lovely one as well about Paris. And she said, his legs have gone there, haven't they? He should have picked someone out, but instead he's hoofed it miles over the bar. His legs literally vanished there, he says. So they literally vanished.
You realise literally, we changed the meaning of literally. Did you see that last year? The dictionary had to say that because we've
so
all missed...
figuratively, we can't... This
is, what Ronnie said there is absolutely spot on.
Oh, you're not... We don't have to say figuratively anymore.
We have ruined literally.
Ah, well, that's a
literally
that's
now
a
means literally...
See, that's a disgrace, Joe. Literally, for literally to be used and abused in that manner is a disgrace.
It's been used and abused to the extent that even the dictionary have said, we give up. Isn't that shocking?
But that's terrible. That's what a terrible precedent
like,
to set. That means if we keep abusing a word, that eventually we'll say, oh, listen, you know what? Let's just forget it. It doesn't mean that anymore.
No. I mean, we both evolve and devolve, and we are literally going the wrong way.
Lackadaisy is another one. People are saying all the time, lackadaisy, instead of lackadaisical.
Sure.
Or lackadaisical. I sound like Pat.
Pat Kenny, lackadaisical, which is of course incorrect. The correct term is lackadaisical, and you'll find in the dictionary, lackadaisy was said by Joe Kinnear. Of course, I'm a great football fan, as you know, Joe. I'm a huge United fan, and yes, I'm a great fan of Pogba, Paul Pogba, and 80% of his passes were completed with his right foot, controlled with his left. And yes, I like you know, mucking in with all the guys at the Aviva Stadium in the corporate section, where we really let loose. I saw Ivan Yates out there as well, by the way. He's actually lost a lot of weight, hasn't he? Has he been doing a lot of cycling? But he's also the quietest I've ever seen him. In 30 seconds, he didn't say a word from going in and out of the kitchen. He didn't say a thing and didn't interrupt anyone. He'll have to do something about that when he goes back into the studio.
Oh, dear. Oh, God. Apri Match Live.
Apri Match Live, yeah. We've got our... we're in... where are you? We're in... Dunleary, the pavilion.
Do you even know where you are?
No.
Dunleary.
Most of the time.
It's a lovely spot there.
It is. Yeah. It is. And it is quite little. You're about to say little, but then you thought, no, I better not patronise the man. But yeah, it is. It's next Friday. But that's, I think that's packed. But we've got a gig on the 21st of October in Vicar Street.
Great.
Which is the bank holiday. Weekend and Ticketmaster and all that. Have the details, but yeah, we've got kind of introduced a bit of singing and dancing in our show, as the Keith Andrews impression would suggest. Probably do some more off the boil captains. I don't know whether you saw. I believe you were particularly sort of nonplussed, shall we say, as to who was representing you and indeed how you were being, or was it in fact you?
Who told you that? I was I wasn't nonplussed.
You were plussed.
I was plussed. Yeah. Right. It was a thrill and honour. I mean, look, you'll get me eventually.
Yeah. No, I definitely will, and that's why I wore the glasses actually to try and do you while I was sitting down beside you, to get the dulcet tones and the quiet little timbre. You said to me outside, you know, Richard, that's really, you know, You're about two octaves too high there, but see, I think when it's mixed with Eddie O'Sullivan, Eddie, why do you think Ireland actually did win the series in Australia?
Well, I don't know. You know, it's hard to put it down to one particular thing, Joe. You know, but you know, I think you know. First of all, Joe's very clever. Joe Schmidt's very clever. So you know, it's down to that, really. It's down to his tactics. But at the same time, I think he's a bit of a PR disaster, Joe. You know.
Yeah, and why is he a bit of a PR disaster?
I just think, you know, either somebody's fit or they're not fit. You've got to tell us straight up if they're fit or if they're not fit.
And that was actually a conversation you had.
That literally happened, yeah.
Yeah, which confused you, confused me, confused the listeners. But I've just clarified it for everyone, I think.
Good. No, this is a thrill. thanks very much for coming in.
Delighted.
It's been fun. Another World Cup come and gone. Richard Fisher.
Yeah, that was a
speedy
4.5 weeks.
I know, zipped in its own way. Ticketmaster is where people can come along and get their final fix.
Yeah, absolutely.
Do you just hear this? Do you tour this all the time? Does this never stop?
No, I mean, we'll do this year. We'll do a few gigs in the autumn and leading up to Christmas, okay. And then we'll put it to bed.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I for one look forward to Richard's guitar.
Oh right. Thanks very much.
Yeah.
I thought you meant.
There was a little
string.
Yeah, there was a little play on words
about to appear
there.
Where
are we in 2 years?
That is a good question. The Euros? No idea. The producer.
How can we not know where the Euros are in 2 years? They're in about 5 different countries, aren't they?
Oh, they are.
They're everywhere.
Right. Yeah. They're all over the place.
Okay. Right.
Yeah. We're not getting any of the games, though, are we? John Delaney? No.
I thought maybe one. We might be in with a sniff. Anyway, it's too far away to worry about now. Richard, thanks very much.
Thank you very much, Joe. Been a pleasure.